Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Ogletree Deacons podcast. My name is Aaron Warshaw, and I'm a shareholder in the New York office. Here with me today are my colleagues Jamie Haar and Jessica Schild. On January 5th, 2021, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio signed legislation that dramatically ends at-will employment for fast food employees in New York City. The new law takes effect on July 4th, 2021. As we will discuss today, the law makes significant changes for New York City fast food industry. To our knowledge, it is also the country's first law that alters the employment relationship for a particular industry group. The law may be ripe to court challenge on federal preemption and other grounds, which we'll talk about in a bit. But what we'd like to do today is go through some of the requirements. There's a lot of them, so without further ado, let's jump in. Jessica, can you please describe how the law effectively ends at-will status for New York City fast food employees?
Yes, thanks, Aaron. So the new law prohibits fast food employers from discharging employees or substantially reducing their hours without this, what they are calling, just cause standard. So the law defines just cause as a fast food employee's failure to perform their job duties or misconduct that is materially harmful to the employer's legitimate business interests. Subsequently, the law defines a covered reduction in hours that would also subject an employer to the just cause standard as any reduction that totals at least 15% of the employee's regular schedule or 15% of any weekly work schedule. Interestingly, if an employee is working within their probation period, so for example, within 30 days from their first day of work, they are not subject to this just cause standard and the at-will employment still would apply.
So Jessica, one of the other key changes in the law is the requirement that employers, New York City fast food employers, use a progressive discipline program prior to terminating for just cause. Can you explain that a little further?
Yes. So the law, in addition, imposes these progressive discipline requirements, like you said. So importantly, a termination is not considered based on just cause unless the employer had first used progressive discipline. So the law defines progressive discipline as a disciplinary system that provides for a graduated range of reasonable responses to the employee's failure to perform their job duties. So, for example, these measures would range from mild to severe, depending on the amount of times that the employee violated policy or failed to perform their job duties, and the degree of failure. Examples would include, you know, written warnings all the way up to and including suspensions. The fast food employer has an obligation to establish and distribute a compliant progressive discipline policy in order to satisfy this standard. The only exceptions to this are for egregious performance or misconduct.
And Jessica, one of the other exceptions generally in the law is for layoffs for, quote, bona fide economic reasons, end quote. Can you please describe what that entails?
Yeah, so fast food employers can lay off employees based on what you just called a bona fide economic reason. A bona fide economic reason would be either a full or partial closing of an employee's operations or some form of organizational change to the business in response to a reduction in volume, a reduction in sales, or a substantial reduction in profit. The fast food employers have to maintain substantial business records sufficient to show that the closure or the reorganization is actually in response to a reduction in the volume, the sales, or the profit. The discharges that are based on this bona fide economic reason have to be done in reverse order of seniority. So, for example, employees with the greatest seniority must be retained the longest and reinstated or restored first. So, for example, a last in, first out type of policy. Fast food employers are also required to make efforts to offer reinstatement to fast food employees who are discharged for bona fide economic reasons within the previous 12 months before the employer offers or distributes shifts to current employees or seeks to hire new employees.
Great. That was an excellent summary. Let's turn now to the consequences when New York City fast food employers fail to comply with the new law. Turning to you, Jamie, can you walk us through the law's penalties and burden of proof?
Sure. Following a discharge or reduction in hours, within 5 days, fast food employers must provide a written explanation to the fast food employee of the precise reasons for their discharge or reduction in hours. Fast food employers bear the burden of proving that the discharge or reduction in hours was based on just cause or other permitted reasons by a preponderance of the evidence. In determining whether a fast food employer had just cause for discharge, a fact finder may not consider any reasons proffered by the fast food employer, but not included in such written explanation provided to the fast food employee. If a fast food employer cannot successfully prove that it discharged an employee or reduced an employee's hours for a permissible reason or for just cause, the employee may be entitled to reinstatement, restoration of hours, or rescission of discipline. Where a fast food employer is found to have violated the law, fast food employees may obtain back pay, recover attorney's fees, and employers may incur a statutory penalty of $500 for each violation.
I suppose this is a good place to also note when we talk about fast food employers, that's defined under existing New York City law. There's certain metrics, a number of locations, things of that nature. So it's defined under the law. One of the other interesting aspects of this new law is the employee's right to arbitration. Jessa, can you walk us through that?
Yes. So effective January 1st, 2022, the law explicitly allows employees that allege a violation of this law to bring an arbitration proceeding. Interestingly, it also allows them to bring an arbitration proceeding on behalf of any applicable class of individuals. It maintains specific requirements for the selection of the arbitrator and requires that the parties abide by the rules of the American Arbitration Association. Subsequently, employees who file this arbitration demand waive their right to sue in court or file an administrative charge.
This requirement or this right is something that has not gotten as much attention as the getting rid of at-will status. But, arguably it's an attempt to create an alternate right around contractual arbitration. And, you kind of flagged the important difference is that there's a ability to bring claims on a class-wide basis, whereas contracts may have class action waivers. So it's a really unique and arguably crafty attempt to work around class action waivers. We'll talk in a little bit about some of the challenges that this may have, but we may see this as a model for similar laws around the country. The last major change that this new law does is over what's known as the Fair Work Week law, which is an existing law and set of regulations in New York City. Jamie, can you talk us through at a high level what the current Fair Work Week or predictive scheduling law entails in New York City?
Sure. So passed in 2017, the New York City Fair Work Law imposes significant constraints and obligations on fast food and retail employers operating in New York City by imposing restrictions that aim to ensure predictable paychecks and work schedules. The law includes strict notice and record-keeping requirements and set forth methods of enforcement, premium pay requirements, penalties, damages, and fines for failure to comply. As Aaron noted, the law is only applicable to certain fast food employers. So fast food or covered fast food employers are establishments located in New York City that are part of a chain, primarily serve food and beverages, offer limited service, and are one of 30 or more establishments nationally. And so that is the current state of the New York Fair Work Week law. This new law seeks to expand on some of the current requirements, particularly as it pertains to predictive scheduling and premium pay requirements for fast food employers only. For example, fast food employees who lose a scheduled shift because of discharge for any reason, which would presumably include egregious misconduct, are now entitled to premium pay for each lost shift. The new law also amends the scheduling practice of providing, on the first day of employment, a good faith estimate, which is a long-term good faith estimate of the hours, days, and times an employee is expected to work. The law now requires predictable, regular set of recurring schedules, signaling that a long-term good faith estimate is no longer sufficient. Further, prior to an employee's first shift, fast food employers must provide a written copy of employees' regular schedule, inclusive of number of hours expected to work per week and working days, times, and locations.
Thank you for that. And thank you, Jamie and Jessica, for all of the information and details. Obviously, this is a dramatic change for the fast food industry in New York City. As noted at the outset, the law does not become effective until July 2021. One of the issues that we're monitoring is whether the law may be subject to various court challenges. It's notable that the Fair Work Week law that Jamie just described that was passed in 2017 was subject to an unsuccessful challenge by a restaurant association on state preemption grounds. Reading this new law just on its face, there may be various challenges on a federal basis. One basis could be under federal preemption, the theory being that the National Labor Relations Act governs at-will status and provides certain remedies around employment, and that this local law may interfere with the federal supremacy under the National Labor Relations Act. The other potential, or one other potential challenge, would be the arbitration provision under the Federal Arbitration Act. There's a line of cases, and certainly more cases and case law being generated around local and state efforts to control or regulate or limit the ability of employees and employers to enter into contracts that govern arbitration. So that's another potential challenge. The last challenge potentially could be under equal protection, under federal equal protection. The argument plausibly there could be that the city does not have a rational basis to make these changes specific only to the fast food industry. So it's a wait and see. As of the date of this recording, there have not been any court challenges filed yet. We are monitoring to see if any challenges come forward. It's also worth noting that New York City tends to issue very detailed agency guidance around new laws. We would anticipate a set of guidance around the new law to come out at some point, presumably before the effective date in July. For fast food employers that are operating in New York City, they may want to look at their current practices, obviously familiarize themselves with the new requirements, and monitor the situation closely. The last point that we'll leave you with is, because this is such a dramatic change, it may create a template for similar measures in other jurisdictions or other measures that are targeting other industries. So even if you're an employer that is not in the fast food industry or not operating in New York City, this law warrants careful consideration and monitoring. Well, with that, we thank you so much for listening to the Ogletree Deacons podcast. I'd like to thank Jessica and Jamie for participating, and have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.